Good morning. A few announcements this morning. Today is the Foreign Mission Collections. Today we're collecting for the Foreign Mission. I'm sure we'll, I haven't mentioned it to Janelle yet, but usually we, if there's anybody that doesn't show up today, if they have something they want to donate to the Foreign Mission next week, I'm sure we can delay that, right, Janelle? Yeah, so just so everybody's aware. There's a sign-up sheet for next weekend's planned meal for Easter Sunday, so please get your names on there and bring the food that's necessary for that event. Men's Bible study at my place on Wednesday at 7:30. Dave will be around at Easter, so Good Friday service at 11. There will be a youth at 4 o'clock on Saturday. So the youth is at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Sunday service, there's a service at 11 and the service at 2. I let Dave decide whether or not he wants to do a service at 2 or an actual song service. So I left it up to him. I won't be here on the Sunday. We're going to Keon and Devon's in Nordegg, so I won't be here. Steve is back, I believe, Friday night, I believe. So just so everybody's aware. Sunday school and adult Bible studies at 10 and worship service at 11 next week. Are there any prayer requests? Word of worship today is hymn 245, and then Ben will read the psalm reading. It's Psalm 118, 19 to 29, and then the hymn, I Will Glorify the King. Terry will open in prayer, and then the hymn 317. And then Misha will give the sermon. It's John 12, 20 to 43, and then hymn 325. 325, and then I will do to communion, and then the closing hymn, 102. Any other announcements? Let's begin.
Psalm reading for today is Psalm 118, 19 to 29. Open to me the gates of righteousness. I will go into them and I will praise the Lord. This gate of the Lord into which the righteous shall enter. I will praise thee, for thou hast heard me and art become my salvation. The stone which the builders refused has become the headstone of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Save now, I beseech thee, O Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, send now prosperity. Blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you out of the house of the Lord. God is the Lord, which hath showed us the light. Bind the sacrifice with cords, even unto the horns of the altar. Thou art my God, and I will praise thee. Thou art my God, I will exalt thee. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever.
Good morning, everyone. It's a beautiful day. It's going to be a beautiful week. And we're moving into the Easter season. So let us bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, as we come to this Easter season, may we glorify you. And may we know that the salvation that was given to us by the sacrifice of your Son Jesus on the cross was for us and for the whole world. Lord, it is a major gift that you have given to us. May we be grateful, may we honor it, may we believe in it, and may we believe that the salvation that was put forth was for us so that we may be pure. And that, Lord, we pray for a lot of things that are going on in this world for because of the turmoil, the deceitfulness, the hate, and all of the things that are around us. Lord, we pray for strength. We pray for wisdom. We pray that you would open our eyes to the truth and that you would open our ears to the truth. And moreover, we pray as we move into a federal election in the next couple of weeks that thou would put a government in place of your will, that you would open the eyes of the people to see the truth, to hear the truth, and be guided by you, Lord, when they go to cast their votes, so that the government that is in place would be an honor and a blessing to us, as well as glorify your name, Lord. We know that whatever government is in place is directed by you and that you have the ability to lead and guide and protect us from all evil that may come, no matter what. Lord, we thank you for all these things. We pray for Misha this morning that as he delivers the word from you, that you would give him wisdom, strength, courage and health in order to deliver this word that we may hear it and we may take it to heart, Lord. We also pray for those that are unable to hear the word this morning, that are in hospital. We think of Lynn and Rimby. We pray for her strength. We pray for her soul. We pray for guidance for her and we pray for blessings through this Easter season for her that you would give her strength and hope and peace and comfort, and all these things we pray. And we pray these things for all those who are sick and unable to hear the word this morning, and whether they be in care homes or hospitals, that, Lord, that they may be comforted by your spirit, that it would be present to give them strength and give them hope. For all these things we pray in Jesus' name, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Let's continue with 317.
Good morning, and God's peace to everyone, and grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ may be with you today and for all days of your lives. And in a week from today, next Sunday, we will celebrate probably the biggest Christian holiday or celebration. We will remember and celebrate resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And together with his birth, Christmas we call it, when Jesus was born, those two events were the most important event in the history of mankind. But today, so Easter will come in a week, but today we will remember and talk about another event when, and we call it Palm Sunday, when Jesus came to Jerusalem, and it was his triumphal entry into Jerusalem, when many people met him there, because it was a time of Jewish feast, Passover. And some people say that even maybe several million of Jews and other people gathered in Jerusalem, and Jews from all Israel and even from other countries, and even people of different nations came to Jerusalem to worship. And they met Jesus. And when Jesus entered into Jerusalem, he was sitting on a donkey, and people put branches of palm trees on the road, and because of that, this day is called, and today is Palm Sunday. And many people were happy to see him. They greeted him with joy, and they said, how it is written also in this chapter 12 of John, in the beginning of this chapter. So they said and cried, Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. So people were thinking that Jesus was their next king who will give them freedom from Rome, and their life will be happy with such a good king. But as we see later, Jesus didn't justify their expectations. So Jesus had different plans, and God has had different plans for him. And at the same day, very soon after this event, when we read about entering of Jesus into Jerusalem, happened those things which we will read in our text. And our text is quite big, 24 verses. I don't know, maybe I can read just in portions. Oh, okay, I can read all text in the beginning. And let us read in the name of Jesus, starting from verse 20 through verse 43. And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. And Jesus answered them, saying, The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone, but if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven, saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. The people, therefore, that stood by and heard it said that it thundered. Others said, an angel spake to him. Jesus answered and said, this voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. This he said, signifying what death he should die. The people answered him, we have heard out of the law that Christ abideth forever. And how sayest thou, the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? Then Jesus said unto them, Yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in the darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While ye have light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light. These things spake Jesus, and departed, and did hide himself from them. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him, that the saying of Esaias the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who has believed our report, and to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore they couldn't believe, because that Esaias said again, he hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them. These things said Esaias when he saw his glory, and spake of him. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees they didn't confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. Amen. And in the beginning of our text, we can see that there were some Greeks were, and verse 20, and there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. So, as we said already, that not only Jews came to Jerusalem those days, but also people of other nations and Greeks here. And maybe those Greeks wanted to be converted to Judaism, but when they came to Jerusalem, to Israel, they heard about Jesus, about his teaching, and they were interested in talking to him, and they wanted to know more about him and about his teaching. And verse 21, those Greeks came therefore to Philip, which was on Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. And then Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. So we see here that those Greeks came up to Philip and applied to him with big respect. They called him Sir. And we know that disciples of Jesus, they were ordinary, simple people, and probably before nobody called Philip so with such respect. But because Jesus was Philip was close to Jesus, and those Greeks saw him around Jesus, so they also respected Philip, and they called him Saul, and they said that they would like to see Jesus and probably to speak to him. And Philip didn't go directly to Jesus, but first he went went to another disciple, Andrew. Probably maybe Andrew was older or higher than Philip, and he asked his opinion about this case. And then Andrew also didn't go just himself to Jesus, but together with Philip, they went to Jesus and told him about those people. And here we can see that disciples treated one another with respect and with brother love. But also it is interesting, we don't know, those Greeks came up to Philip first. We don't know why, but it is interesting that we know that Jesus had 12 main disciples, and only two of them had Greek names. Those were Philip and Andrew, and all other disciples had Jewish names. I don't know, maybe because of that or because of something else. So those Greek applied to Philip. So Andrew and Philip told Jesus about those Greeks, and maybe they expected that Jesus will talk with them with big importance. And also it would be interesting to think about expectations of disciples, of the disciples themselves. So they saw how big crowd of people greeted Jesus with joy, and they said, blessed is the King of Israel. And they hoped probably that Jesus would really become King of Israel, and they will be around him. Maybe they will be ministers, or in any case, they will have important positions. So, and it is natural when somebody becomes president or king or prime minister or just a big businessman, he needs people who he can trust. And the same. So they hoped that they will have important positions in new government. But Jesus answered very, very differently. And in verse 23 it is written, "And Jesus answered them, saying, 'The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily say, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit.'" And here Jesus says that the hour is come and that the Son of Man should be glorified. So we can understand from here that Jesus made decision to give himself to Jews and to be crucified. And why this hour came now? We can say here that before, we can remember how Jesus first time to send his 12 disciples for their ministry, and we can read about it in Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. Now I will find it. And verses 5 and 6. verses 5 and 6. So these 12 Jesus sent forth. So he sent his 12 disciples for ministry after teaching them. So these 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So we can see here that Jesus didn't tell disciples to go to Gentiles, but go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So his priority then was to preach Jewish people, to preach for the people of Israel, how it is written, go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Of the house of Israel. But now we can see that Gentiles came themselves to him. So news about Jesus, information about his teaching was spreading beyond Israel, and people there, Gentiles, heard about it and they wanted to know more about Jesus and his teaching. But at the same time, Jesus had been preaching at that time for more than 3 years. And he did great efforts to preach and to teach for people of Israel. And the result wasn't impressive. So though he did a lot of miracles, and but not so many believed in Jesus. So they liked maybe Jesus, but they liked him not like spiritual people. They liked him not like Messiah, Christ, but they saw in him a new king of Israel. And it wasn't why Jesus came for to this world. And now Jesus say, the hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. It means that Jesus made decision to be given to the hands of Jews and to be crucified. And then he explains why. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone, but if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. And he gives here a natural example, and we all know when a seed or corn sown into the ground, and it can give, one seed can give, I don't know, maybe 100 seeds. So, and this is law of the nature created by God. And he gives this example, and disciples understood it very well. And then Jesus says, he that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. And if we look at it for the first time, we can see some contradictions maybe. He says, if somebody loves his life, he will lose it. So, but what did he mean? He meant that love, and then he says, and he that hateth his life in this world, then Jesus adds words, in this world, life in this world, shall keep it unto eternal life. So if we love because we live in all people, and we also we live in this world, and this world is, in fact, this world is full of sin and enemy of God. And if we love our life in this world, we will lose our life. But we will lose our life. It means that we will lose eternal life with God. So if we love this life here in this world, eternal life with God will be lost for us. But at the same time, if we hate our life in this world, and if we don't go along this life, if we don't do everything which this world proclaims, so, and we know that around us a lot of bad things from Christian point of view, because it can be bad for us, but very good for other people who love their life in this world, in this sinful world, those people who love sin, and such people don't have eternal life, and they will lose this life, but this eternal life. But those who hate their life in this sinful world, they shall keep life eternal, how it is written here. So, but here, maybe I would like to say, when Jesus said, "The hour is come, and the time for my death has come," in fact. And here I would like to think about such things. We can say, and we say, that Jesus came to this world to die, to be crucified for our sins. And some people can say that Jews who crucified him, maybe they were doing this according to God's plan. Maybe they helped to fulfill plan of God. When they killed Jesus, when they crucified, maybe some people say, oh, they fulfilled God's plan. Also, some people say, I heard it, that about Judas, they said. So they said, oh, Judas betrayed Jesus, but they also helped to fulfill God's plan. And they said, oh, he helped God, in fact, Judas. But it is not correct. So I don't know if it is written something about all Jews who crucified Jesus, but he said about that person who betrayed him, about Judas, in Matthew 26:24. Let us see here. Yeah, Matthew 26:24. So, Jesus says about Judas, about that person who betrayed him. And it is written, Matthew chapter 26, verse 24. The Son of Man goeth as it is written of him. But woe unto that man, by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not been born. So, this is not that case when Judas helped God to fulfill his plan. And if we think about Judas, yes, he betrayed, but he didn't kill Jesus himself. And I don't know, maybe even he didn't think that Jesus would be killed. He thought, I don't know, maybe he thought that Jesus would be arrested and punished, but I don't know about crucifixion if he knew. Probably Pharisees and high priests didn't tell him about their plans. And even Jesus or Judas didn't kill Jesus directly, it is written here. It had been good for that man if he hadn't been born. So terrible punishment for him will be. And I think much bigger punishment for those who crucified Jesus. And who crucified him? Some people say that Romans crucified him. And in fact, yes, Roman soldiers killed him. But in Matthew 27, also Matthew 27, verse 25, maybe verse 24, 25. So it was a judgment of Pilate. When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. And then he says to Jews, see you to it, see you to it. So decide yourself. And then answered all the people and said, his blood be on us and on our children. So it was their decision. Okay, but let us go back to our text, John 12. And then verse 26. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. And here in verse 26, Jesus encourages disciples because they were maybe shocked to hear what they heard in previous verses. And here tells them, if any man like you, he tells to his disciples, and like you also, I think, and hope, maybe me too. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. He gives a promise to his disciples and to many Christians that they will follow him and they will be there where he is, and he is in heaven, and his disciples also will be in heaven if they are faithful to him to the end. And they will be with him, with Jesus in heaven, and him will my Father honor. So they will be honored by God, Father himself in heaven. So, and then Jesus 27, in verse 27, Jesus says, now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this cause came I unto this hour. And verse 27, now is my soul troubled. So Jesus says here that his soul troubled, that he had some internal suffering, and it was difficult for him to face this close future, to face his death. And some people say, and maybe even today, and it was of the one of the first heresy probably, may be sown by devil himself, when people said that Jesus was God, and for him it was very easy. It wasn't a problem at all to die, to be crucified, and he didn't feel anything. He was God. But it wasn't correct. And here Jesus says that now is my soul troubled, because Jesus was, yes, they were right just on one side. Jesus was 100% God, but he also was 100% human. He was human, the same human as we are. And he had this human flesh, and he experienced pain and all those moral turmoils and sufferings. Because he was 100% human, he had, like we had, we all have inherent fear of death, because this instinct, or not instinct, is put in us. We want to live. We don't want to die. So, and it is normal. Some people commit suicide. Yes, sometimes even some, like, I don't know. But it is not normal. It is not normal. So all human and all alive creatures, even some insects, even, I don't know, mice, chicken, all alive creatures want to live. So, and Jesus was human, and his human side wanted to live, because he was a young man, relatively, young man in his prime. So 33 years old, this is very good age. So I remember it. So, and even people don't think about death at that age. So, but death came to him very close, and he says, now is my soul troubled. And what shall I say? He said, maybe I should ask my father somehow to escape this destiny for me. He said, what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. Should I say, Father, save me from this destiny? Save me from this hour. But then he says, no, but for this cause came I unto this hour. It was purpose of my coming to the earth, to come here and to die in my, not in old age, but in very, very good age, in the like prime age. So he says, I came for this hour, I came for this purpose. I came to die, I came to crucify. And why? Why did he come for this purpose? Because he came to suffer and to die for our sins. So because we live in this world, and this world is full of sins, as we said already, and like Paul wrote that, chapter 6, verse 23, for the wages of sin is death. So wages of sin is death. So this rule established by rule and law established by God, that if somebody sins, he must die. Yes. And we all are sinners. Also, the Bible tells us that there is no man in the world who is not a sinner. We all are sinners, and our destiny is go to death, to eternal death. And Jesus came to this world to die for us, and to ransom our sins and to save us from our sins. But also it is interesting maybe to think that why did God do so? So he sent his son, and son had to die with terrible terrible death for our sins. Maybe he could do it somehow easier. We know that in our world sometimes some people, for their earthly mistakes, even crimes, they can escape punishment because they are close to government, maybe to police, I don't know, to some bigger people in our society. Sometimes it happens. But God, and in fact, God do something like this. And nobody, even when in human society somebody violates law or rules, they can be punished. There is always a risk when we violate some law. There is a risk that some, I don't know, opposition or police can reveal our mistakes or crimes, and we can be punished for that. But nobody, God is God, and nobody can check him. He doesn't have opposition, real opposition, because Satan and his fallen angels, devils, they are not opposition. They are not equal to God. So, but God is God. He is perfect. He is completely just and righteous. And even when nobody sees what he does, nobody can check him, nobody can judge him, he can do everything exactly according to his law. And everything must be done exactly according to the law. Everything should be, like now people say, legitimate or legal. Even small details of God's law must be fulfilled. Yes, and to save us, sinners, from our sins, from eternal death, everything must be fulfilled completely. And as we know that wages for sin is death, we must die. Or, instead of us, somebody must die. And this somebody is and was Jesus Christ, Son of God, the only man who didn't have sin at all. He was 100% righteous. And all sins of the world was put on Jesus on the cross of Calvary. And all wrath of God was put on him. And even Son of God himself, when he was on the cross already, we can read about it in Mark. Where is Mark? Mark 15:34. Oh, here. In Mark 15, verse 34, when Jesus was on the cross in great suffering. Yeah, and it is written here, and at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which has been interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? So we can imagine this righteous Jesus, this holy Son of God, he was suffering on the cross, bleeding, terrible pain, and all those sufferings. And he felt that God forsake him then, left him completely. And he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And why? Why did God forsake Jesus at that moment? Because at that moment, Holy Son of God, the only righteous man, when he was on the cross, he had sins, our sins, first of all, my sins and your sins, and then sins of all other people. And we know that sin cannot be in presence of God. And sinner is separated from God, separated from God. And because of that, God forsake Jesus at that moment. And it was physical suffering for Jesus, but it was also moral suffering. So we can imagine, maybe sometimes we all have sometimes difficult moments in our lives. And when we have those difficult moments, our friends and relatives, they come to us and they help and they try to do something good for us, and it gives us relief, good relief, and we are thankful to them. But Jesus was just alone on that cross. And he was separated from God at that moment because of our sins. And he took upon himself punishment instead of us. Okay, and let us continue. So, and then Jesus says, verse 28, Father, glorify thy name. Then, Father, glorify thy name, Jesus says. And then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. So, and the people therefore that stood by and heard it said that it thundered. Others said, an angel spake to him. So, voice from heavens again answered to Jesus. It was God himself, and God confirmed that he was with Jesus at that moment, when Jesus was going to his Calvary, God was with him. And it was for the third time when, at least how it is described in New Testament. The first time it was a voice from heaven. People heard when Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist. Then the second time it was on the Mount of Transfiguration. And now the third time. So, and as we read, people heard it, this voice from heaven, and said, it is thunder. Others said, an angel spake to him. But in the verse 30, Jesus says, Jesus answered and said, this voice came not because of me, but for your sakes, for your sakes. This is, he tells people, this is for you. This is confirmation from God that you should know. Another proof, maybe, that I am from God, I am Messiah, I am Christ. And then Jesus says, verse 31, now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And Jesus says that this world will be judged and even is judged at that time. Is judged by whom? By him and by God. And the prince of this world will be cast out. And prince of this world, who is this? This is Satan. And Satan was defeated by Jesus. On the cross, Jesus defeated Satan because Jesus defeated Satan not only on the cross, yes, but then maybe final point was put when Jesus rose from dead. After his resurrection, Satan was defeated completely. And now, because now we have a weapon against Satan, now we have this Jesus Christ who saves us from our sins, who saves us from power of Satan. And Satan lost his power over us. He doesn't have. And though he goes around us like a roaring lion and he wants to devour us and he's angry, he's terrible, but there is a simple instructions in the Bible and New Testament against devil. Resist to devil and he will flee. Resist, just resist, not surrender to him. So, Satan is defeated by Jesus. And then verse 32, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. This is, he said, signifying what death he should die. So he said, Jesus said that he will be lifted up from the earth. It means he meant his cross, that he will be lifted up from the ground on the cross, height of this cross. He will be lifted up. And with this, he says, I will draw all men unto me. And it is really so that he attracts all people to himself with his death and resurrection. And Jesus invites all people, everybody is invited, all sinners. It doesn't matter which sin you committed. Only one sin, we should remember, only one sin cannot be forgiven. This is blasphemy against Holy Spirit. But this is quite rare. I hope we will never do it. But all other earthly sins can be forgiven in the name of Jesus and because of his shed blood. And Jesus spreads his invitation to all people, but another thing that not all people accepted. And then 33, 34 verses. 34 maybe. The people answered him, we have heard out of the law that Christ abideth forever. And how sayest thou, the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? So those people standing around him, they were Jews and they knew the law, how it is written. But the law means here entire scriptures, entire Old Testament. And they said that Christ abideth forever. So they said that real Messiah of God shouldn't die, shouldn't suffer. So he will live forever. And they even maybe were trying to mock on Jesus. Oh, you say that you are Christ, that you are Messiah, but at the same time you say that you will die, so you are not real Messiah according to the scripture. But they, and maybe even they knew, I think so many Jews, they knew the scriptures very well. But in this case, they showed only one side of the scriptures. And maybe they were trying to mock on Jesus. So again, they didn't say it with kind intentions. But we know that in many places of the Old Testament, scriptures says about suffering of Messiah. And for example, Isaiah 53, verse 7. And here we will read how Isaiah prophesied about Christ, about Messiah. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. So it was written about 700 years before Christ. And very exactly, everything, all line of this verse was fulfilled in Jesus Christ. So, and it is written here about suffering of the Messiah, of the Lord. So, and those Jews, they said, I think they knew about this thing, but they preferred to miss it. And they tried to contradict with Jesus. And what Jesus said about this. And verse 35, Jesus didn't argue with them, didn't try to convince them, because he did it many, many times before for about 3.5 years. But now time has come for different things. And then in the verse 35, we can read the final appeal of Jesus to Jewish people, to people of Israel. Then Jesus said unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goes. While you have light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light. So it was the final statement of Jesus. So he just said what he had to tell them. Be in light, be saved. And this is a good example for us. I think we all know friends or relatives or other people who are not believers, who are obviously are not believers. They don't believe in Christ. Nothing, fairy tales, they say, and so on. But for such people, we should say, especially when we, I don't know, maybe I can remember, maybe in train or in plane, we have another passenger and we speak to him. We have several hours of the flight and we speak to him and he said, oh, I don't believe. But it is better for them to say what Jesus say him, just statement, be with Christ and so on, like it is written here, go in light and be the children of light. Because we don't know. Maybe time will come and those people will remember, because this is sowing of good seed in the soil of their hearts. And Jesus did it. And who knows, we don't know. Maybe some of those people who heard those words of Jesus, maybe later they believed in him. We don't know. And then read the end of 36. These things spake Jesus and departed and did hide himself from them. So he departed. And then 37. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. So Jesus did a lot of miracles, we know, before them, but they didn't believe in him. And why did he do miracles? Why did he have this ability to do miracles? Not to show that he was great and so on, but to show that he was real Messiah. He was a man of God, sent by God. It was proof of his deity. But they didn't believe. And 38, that the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? And here, this question, Isaiah wrote it, and in this question, Lord, who has believed our report, and to whom? And it means that nobody. Nobody believed, and so nobody believed, nobody understood it. So, and therefore, they couldn't believe, because that Isaiah said again, he hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they shouldn't see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them. So Isaiah wrote that hearts of those people were hardened and eyes blinded, and they couldn't understand, and they couldn't be converted, and they didn't need Savior to heal them. And then 41, these things said is Esaias, when he saw his glory and spake of him. So because God showed, we can read in the book of Isaiah, that God showed all this glory to him, to Isaiah, and he spoke about this. And then last two verses. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees, they didn't confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. So, and we can read here that, so many believed in Jesus, even chief rulers, but they believed in themselves in hidden way, in secret way, because they didn't do it openly, like it is written, they didn't confess him, because they were afraid that they could be put out of the synagogue. And to be put out of the synagogue at that time, for Jew, it was a very serious matter. So they were almost, I don't know, not criminal, but so nobody could say them hello, and nobody spoke to them, so they were like strangers. So it was, for they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. And here, maybe we can compare with verse 25. He that loveth his life shall lose it. Verse 25. So we spoke about this. So those people, those chief rulers, though they believed in Jesus in secret way, though they loved their life in their world with synagogue, so they maybe understood that Jesus said the truth, but they were afraid because they loved. They had too many connections with the world around them, and they didn't confess Jesus. And what can we say about them? Of course, we cannot say exactly, but I think they were in a dangerous situation because they didn't confess Jesus. And how it is written in Romans chapter 10, verse 10, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So maybe they were not saved in eternity, though they believed in Jesus, but they didn't confess it, him openly. And also another thing important, and maybe we will finish on it with this word. So this is probably in Matthew. Yes, Matthew chapter 10, 32, 33, and we will finish. So because those chief rulers, they didn't confess Jesus openly, and Jesus himself said, Matthew 10, chapter 32, 33, "Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father, which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father, which is in heaven." So in other words, so those rulers, when they were asked maybe, "Do you believe in Jesus?" They said, "Oh, no, no, I don't believe in." But when he, at home, he said, "Oh, yeah, Jesus, I believe in," just in himself. But openly, they denied Jesus. And such faith, even they had such faith doesn't bring to salvation. So for us, let us pray and let us be in good courage and in good spirit, confess Jesus Christ our Lord openly everywhere, even before rulers, before everybody, before I don't know whom. Yes, and Jesus in this case, him I will also, him will I confess also before my Father, which is in heaven. So, and let us be thankful to God that he sent his Son Jesus Christ, and let us be thankful to Jesus himself that he came to this sinful world, saved us from our sins, but from us also, we need also to believe in him, in his name, and to believe that our sins are forgiven in Jesus' name and because of his pure shed blood. And let us confess him before everybody on all streets and corners with boldness and courage. And to him be the glory today and forever. Amen. And in the end, accept God's blessing. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Hymn 325.
Shall we say the Apostles' Creed together? I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray with and for them who will now partake of the Lord's Holy Supper. Lord Jesus Christ, thou bread of life, grant that thy holy communion may be a blessing to all those who today shall partake of it, that through the power of the body and blood, that they may receive peace and comfort to their souls and be strengthened in faith, love, and a lively hope of eternal life. Amen. Truly is meet, right, and blessed that we should at all times and at all places give thanks unto thee, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, and he had given thanks. He gave it to them, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye, as oft as ye drinketh, in remembrance of me. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which is and which was and which is to come. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Let us all pray as our Lord has taught us. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. So we can all come up and take from the body and the blood on the communion rail, and those who want to kneel at the communion rail can come, and I will serve them. take, eat the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, broken for you. The blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, preserve your body and soul until eternal life, shed for you. May the body and the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ preserve your bodies and souls unto eternal life. Amen. Praise the Lord for his gracious gift of which you have partaken, and proclaim his suffering, death, and resurrection until he cometh again. Arise and depart in the peace of the Lord. O Lord God Almighty, thou who hast allowed us to partake of this holy supper, we thank thee for thy grace and pray, grant that we also, with all thy chosen saints, may share thy eternal honor and glory through thy Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost in one Godhead from everlasting to everlasting. Amen. And Misha's already done said the benediction, so let's close our sermon, our hymn with 102.
Stop.